podcast is brought to you by Lighthouse Fellowship Antwerpen. For more information, please visit our website www.lighthouseantwerpen.be. We hope that this audio podcast will help you to enjoy life, to love God, and to make a difference.
We speak about the fourth part of the Galatians series. And if you have missed it, Nick already said it, please check out the videos. The message that I have today is really also just, if you haven't heard anything, in God's name, in Jesus' name, hopefully you have something that you can take home with you today. But we painted a picture of the whole letter of Galatians. It's one of the first times that we actually do a series based on a book. Normally we do a series based on a theme. And we literally want to walk through a chapter by chapter through a book. In that case, the book is a letter that the church planter Paul wrote to some churches in the area of Galatia. So Galatia was not one city, it was an area. It's today modern day Turkey. There's also, we speak about this in the other parts. Just interesting to know. So he helped to plant these churches, and then as he was leaving, other people came behind his back and they tried to pervert the gospel. They tried to bring something in that did not belong there. That's why we see that Paul is very emotional in this letter, especially Galatians, that he uses very strong language. If I would use this kind of language in a service, people would send me emails. So, Pastor Frank, do you really need to use that words? Well, Paul does it. So if you're mad, if this offends you, please write a letter to the Apostle Paul, not to me. We're just going into that. And today we want to talk about what the new way of the gospel is. We talked a lot the last times what it is not. And Paul gives us a good portion on in the first chapters. It's not just another religion. You cannot just be a religious person and then get to know Jesus and then be religious with Jesus. This doesn't work. And if you try to do it, you will get stuck. This is a complete new thing that I brought to you, and you need to understand this. You see, there's so much traffic jam that now the people are coming in, so they've just given up on on trying to go to the coast. No. Welcome, everybody. It's great to have you here. Please find a seat. Jesus says in Mark 2:21-22, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Jesus uses this comparison. He says, if you have an old cloth, and back then they had no washing machines and all these nice linore, these good smelling stuff. They just washed it by the river, and they beat on it, and to get the dirt out. So what happened? The clothes shrunk, and then you have a problem there. If you put a garment that is not shrunk, not old, you put it on an old one, guess what happens? Over time, this patch also starts to shrink and makes it worse. And this is the picture that Jesus is using for you cannot be religious and then put Jesus on top of it. It doesn't work. It makes it, you will get stuck. This is not the idea. Another comparison that he uses, which is a little bit more familiar to most of us, is the wine and the wineskin. No one pours new wine into old wineskins. Why? Because the old wineskins, they were static. They did not move. They did not change. And old wine is the same. It tastes better, but nothing happens with old wine. The new wine works, needs space. That's why you always need to put new wine into new wineskins, because they are flexible. Otherwise, you destroy it. And Jesus says, if you really want to receive Jesus, you also need to renew the cloth. You need to renew the wineskin. You cannot just put Jesus on top of your religion. It doesn't work. So this is basically the core of Galatians. Let's jump right into it. We are chapter 5 in the meantime. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. The theme is, hey, I call you to be free, but I see that you slip back into slavery, you slip back into religion, you slip back into performance-driven religion, something. This was never the idea. Stop it and come back to the real thing, the real freedom. We had in the first session that we make this comparison with Genesis. There was a tree of life and a tree of knowledge. And we can put this right next to each other. There is the new way of Jesus is to bring life. Life, it is the tree of life, but there's also a tree of knowledge of good and evil. So think about the gospel that you believe. Does it bring life? The gospel that you speak to people, does it bring life or does it bring knowledge? Because the tree of knowledge says you do something wrong. There's something wrong in your life. You're not good enough. I'm doing it right. You're doing it wrong. I have the knowledge. It's black on white here on a list. That's the wrong tree, folks. The tree of life speaks life into people. It says, Jesus gave me new hope and he can do the same for you. Doesn't matter where you're at. And there are a lot of things in your life that are not really okay. So is mine. But there's hope in the name of Jesus. This brings life. This brings life. That's the beginning of everything. And that's the freedom that he brings. So let's go into that today. What is it then? If it's not religion, what then? How then does it work? How can we make this practical? Galatians 5, 7, 2 to 4, I'm sorry. Mark my words. And this is one of the strong language that Paul uses. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, we know that this was one of the big steps, the religious teachers, they ask them to be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You know, these teachers, they came into this church and said, great, you are Christians now, you believe in Jesus, now follow all the rules of the Jewish law. You must be circumcised, you are not allowed to work on a Saturday, you eat this, don't eat that, do that, do this, do this, do this. And Paul says, if you put your hope on these things, you need to keep the whole law. It's more than 600 laws in the Old Testament. And Paul says, if you start here, if this is where you put your hope in, you need to keep them all. And if you miss one of it, you are guilty of everything. It's a strong language. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. I think this is significant. If we build our faith on anything that we do or we can do or what we started to do, we're alienated from Christ. We have fallen away from grace, and this happens so often. I told it many times the last 3 things. I discovered this different gospel. Paul calls it a different gospel in chapter 1, a perverted gospel. I discovered this gospel in myself many times. I said, I have drifted into this I'm eaten from the wrong tree. I know what's wrong and right, and I start to judge people, or I wouldn't say it like this, but you look at people and you know exactly what's wrong with them, and sometimes we let these people feel it, and this does not bring life to anybody. We're eaten from the wrong tree, so we need to come back to what it really is. So how then does it work? Let me try to explain this the best I can, what I think is important here. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision or uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. I want us to get these two things. It's faith expressing itself through love. Somebody asked me if it's allowed for a Christian to be circumcised. I said, of course. If you think this is better for you, go ahead. Do it. But know this, it doesn't make you holy. It doesn't save you. It doesn't make you a better Christian. It doesn't increase your anointing. It doesn't do anything. If you feel for whatever reasons this is what you want to do, go ahead. You're a free man. You're free But you don't have to do that. We have the Sukkot feast now in the Jewish calendar. And some Christians, they celebrate this feast. Is that allowed? Absolutely. No problem with that. You want to celebrate it? Go ahead. Have fun. But we don't have to do that. Because neither doing it nor not doing it means anything in the new way. And we need to understand that. So what then counts in the new way that we are on? Faith. Expressing myself with love. What is faith? Faith is always active. Faith is stepping out into something that I cannot see. There is no guarantee, but I step out and I build on something that is unfamiliar to me. I count on something that is invisible. That's faith, and we need boldness for that. It's easier to put your confidence in your accomplishments. I go to church every Sunday. I give my tithings. I give to the poor. I pray. I don't use bad language. I have all these lists, all my check boxes. That's why I will go to heaven. No, you won't. This doesn't save you. Faith is, Lord, you provided everything for me. You make me righteous. You make me good enough. You provide everything that I need. That's faith. It requires boldness. Religious is easier sometimes and gives you a feeling of security. But it's a false security. It's a false security. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? Do you see that language? He says, who keeps you from obeying the truth? That means you obeying a lie. You're living in a false gospel. You're living in religion. There's something wrong here. There's a totally different system you're running on. But you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Again, he says, don't do that. You are free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you read the chapter 5 in Galatians, we might think this is just a bynote. But that's the core. Have you ever met a person that you would consider being a hypocrite? Or have you ever heard, lately it was in a newspaper, I forgot the nation where it happened, that there was a donation given, a huge donation given to an orphanage in the church, Catholic church. And this money was used to renovate the luxurious apartment of a cardinal. And everybody sees this in the newspaper and says, wow, these hypocrites, come on, this out. And we all get angry if we read this stuff, of course. Do you know that the reason why we have beer in Belgium is because the monks were very inventive to bridge the fasting time? Because they were fasting before Easter and before Christmas. And they were not allowed to eat, but they were allowed to drink. So what did they do? They created a drink that is strong and fills the stomach and gives you a good feeling. Where I come from in Bavaria, they even have a fasting bread because that we are not eating flesh. We are not eating meat in the fasting time, but this fasting bread, if you cut it open, there's vegetable in it, there's meat in it, there's sausage in it. So from the outside, it looks like I'm just eating bread. It's the fasting time, but it's a whole different. And everybody, you hypocrite, then don't do it at all. And that's the core of this. If you love God, then you either fast or you don't, but you don't fake it. If you love people, you don't try to bend the truth. We all know these stories of inventive lawyers where the truth is being bent and everybody knows about it, but we all accept it. Just give you an example. It is not legal to steal from a person, right? Everybody agrees. It's not legal to steal from a person. But what if this person is on a long vacation and a lawyer sends a letter that this person needs to respond within 3 days, otherwise he takes something from him? Legally, you could bend it that it's then not stolen, but it's somehow okay. Everybody knows these little back doors in life. But if you love this person, you would never do that. You would never find these back doors. You would never tell half truth. You would never sneak your way around because you just don't do that. You love that person. This is not fair. This is not upright. And the same with God. The Pharisees were fantastic, inventive, creative people in that. The Pharisees, they had all these rules and regulations that sounded so awesome, but Jesus was so angry at them. They tried to bend the truth. Matthew 23, it's the seven vows to the Pharisees. And he says, "Woe to you, blind guides. You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing, but anyone who swears by the gold of the temple is bound by that oath." You see, they are like these lawyers. They try to make it sound nice. Somebody made a vow to God that, "Lord, by your temple, I want to do this." But the Pharisee says, "Yes, you said that to God, but you did not swear by the gold that is in the temple. And because you, practically speaking, you did not say that, that makes it legal. That makes it okay." And Jesus said, "You hypocrites, you blind leaders, you fools, you know, stop bending the law, the truth. Stop. If you love God, you don't do that. You're not trying to trick him and you're not trying to trick people. It's that easy. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold take it?" So Jesus takes their own logic, turns it around and slaps it in their faces. That you hypocrites. If you made a vow to God, go before God. And if you cannot keep it, say, "Father, I'm sorry. I might not be able to keep it. This is it." But don't try to fool him. Don't try to trick him. That's religion. It sounds good, but on the inside, it's all rotten. It's not really. It's not real. So, take home number one. The new way that Paul is bringing in can be described as this. It's not a rule to follow. It's not a checklist. As a good Christian now, you need to do this and this and this and this and this. And in a few minutes, we will go into two checklists. And the temptation is for religious minds to say, "You see, there are lists. And this is bad and this is good." I know that we will go into that, but it's not a rule to follow. But what is it then? It is a voice to hear. It is a voice to hear. It starts with a relationship again. It is a relationship. Are you familiar with God and his Spirit? Does he speak to you? "Lord, what is the next step?" It is easier to have a list of rules that you can follow than to start to listen to a person, because this has to do with trust, with relationship. This is difficult. It takes boldness, and it's easier to follow rules. But Paul says, no, this is the new way. It's not a rule to follow. It's a voice to hear. So I say, live by the Spirit. That's the new way. Live by the new Spirit. How did everything start? "Jesus, take my life. I'm yours now. I believe you are the Lord." You start with the Spirit, and now we need to continue by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So how can we escape religion and all these lists? Living by the Spirit. Then there is no law for us. But how does that work? Let's have a look at these two lists. We see here that the flesh, and I know this sounds very spiritual, but you will see this is very, very practical. The flesh and the Spirit, they are in conflict. And why? Because the flesh is everything that I can do. I count on what I can do. God might not be able to provide, so I have to take care of it myself. This is how religion works. I make myself a good person. I take the fig leaf and cover myself. This is the whole Bible is this conflict. It's a lack of trust. Because if I don't trust that God will fulfill my soul, satisfy my soul, give me a prosperous soul, a fulfilled life. John 10:10, I have come so they had life and have it to the full. If I don't believe that, then I need to take care of it myself. It's very easy. Let's have a look at this list, the bad list. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, faction, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And we can say everybody who does this is like not a good Christian. Well, probably, yes, but I think we need to go a little bit deeper. But if you look with different eyes on this list, what do they all do? They take care of basic needs themselves. It has to do with eating a lot, drinking a lot, experience sexuality a lot, manipulate, make your own way through things, take care of yourself. Why? Because you don't believe that there is a God who can do this much better. It takes faith to step out and say, Lord, I'm done with this, because you will provide for me a good partner and I will enjoy the gift of sexuality and I will be glad and I will enjoy it for the rest of my life, and it will come from you and it will be good, and I wait for that. It takes faith to step out, and it's easier to grab it yourself and find it yourself in other sources. The flesh and the spirit. Religion and faith, the old way and the new way. If we step out in faith, said, Holy Spirit, you are able to give me more joy, to satisfy my soul, to prosper my soul. You are able to do that better and more intense than anything else that I find in this world. You live in the new way. You live by the Spirit. You are not under the law. Try to see it with these eyes. We have idolatry. Let's pick out idolatry and witchcraft, because many people think idolatry is not of this time anymore, because as far as I know, I don't have a little statue at home, golden, with some kind of old elephant, and I'm not bowing down to some kind of idol. Okay, all right. Most of us don't. But idolatry means that there is one person or one voice or one thing in your life that you value higher than God. And that means I get my identity from something other than God. My relationship, my money, my status, my wisdom, my talents, whatever it is. They determine who I am. Remember the people of Israel. They were God-fearing people, most of them. They went to the synagogue regularly. But all of them, or most of them, if you go through Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and these prophets, the big problem was that they all had their idols in their houses or under the green trees or at the high places. So on Sunday, we go to church, we understand that God is good, but there are these few areas in life where we don't trust God, where we need to take care of ourselves. That's an idol. And John Calvin said, the human heart is an idol factory. We constantly hang on to something other than God to provide for our needs. Idolatry. Next thing, witchcraft. Well, as far as I know, I've never participated in some kind of occult practices, so that's not for me. Let's have a closer look here. The word that we find in the Greek is the word pharmakeia, and this is magic, sorcery, enchantment, the use of paranormal methods to manipulate natural forces. Why would you want to manipulate natural forces? Because you want to take care of it yourself. Because you don't trust that God will do it for you the way you want it. Why would you manipulate people and control people to get what you want? Why? Because you don't trust that God is your lawyer, that God is the paracletus, the Holy Spirit is the one who brings you in position at school, at work, in church. If you have ever encountered a manipulative or controlling person, you know what I'm talking about. But the Spirit way, being led by the Spirit, is, Lord, I believe you gave me a calling in your kingdom, and you will bring me to that place. There's no need for me to manipulate, to control, to backstab, to gossip, to talk bad, negative about people, to make my own way. That's witchcraft. It's manipulation. you're taking care of it yourself. We do it out of the flesh. We don't allow God to do it for us. We don't believe that He does a better job than we could do. We manipulate. We see in 1 Samuel that rebellion is the same like witchcraft. The word here is divination. Some translations translate with spiritism, but it is not spiritism. The Greek, the Hebrew word that we find here is the word kesem, and this is sorcery, witchcraft. It's the same thing. Rebellion is like witchcraft. What is witchcraft? Manipulation. And you use whatever you get in your hands to manipulate, but the core of it is, I need to take care of it myself because God is not able to. I need to manipulate this church, this group of people, this person, through gossip, through backstabbing, to half-truth. I make my own. Why? Because I don't trust that there's a God in heaven who sees me, who called me, and who brings me into the position that He wants me to be. The one brings freedom, the other one brings bondage. So if we go into this on the flesh area, we do it ourselves, we take care of it ourselves, we end up in bondage, we end up in addiction, and we end up in destructive life patterns. They are destructive for ourselves and for others. If we build on the Spirit, we receive freedom. But you, brothers and sisters, are called to be free. And you have freedom. And you know this is the relationship that the Lord has for me. And I don't have to fight for it. I have to fend for it. I got promoted at work because God opened the door for me. And if God opens a door, nobody can close it. There's freedom. And it's established by freedom. You don't have to be afraid that tomorrow it's... No, if the Lord gives it to you, there's freedom. Well, the Spirit of the Lord is there's freedom. There's no fear. We don't have to manipulate. We don't have to manipulate. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And this is what everybody wants. But sometimes we eat from the wrong tree. You want to have joy and peace, and you might find in eating yourself until full, until it's not healthy for you, or drinking too much, or have sexual relationships in a way that is not healthy for you or others. No. The kingdom of God is not about this. And how do we get from here to there? Through faith. We step out. We say, God, I'm done doing this. I believe that you have something so much better for me, that you are the one who can give me peace and joy in a way that this stuff can never give it to me. I believe in you. I have faith in you. I expect from you that you are able to do this because you are a good father. That's the way of faith. We let go of trying to do it ourselves, and we expect that God has something that is so much better for us. And it takes boldness, and sometimes we fall. That's the way it is. But in the church, we are here to help each other on the way. Put your hope on Jesus. Put your faith on Jesus. He provides. And if He gives generously. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. We are not under the law if we are led by the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, then we don't have to worry about the law and what the law says and which day we eat and not eat and where. We don't need to care about it. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Those who belong to Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That means I say no to do it myself, to provide for myself, to try to get joy out of life, out of the flesh. I turn around and said, God, you will provide joy for me. You will give me a life to the full, in freedom and joy. You will give me the real deal that brings freedom. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I love this. I love this. Since everything started by the Spirit, now let's keep in step with the Spirit in every area. You are not sure what to do here or there in your life? Ask the Holy Spirit. He has your next step for you. Don't necessarily listen to religious people who they give you a whole list of do's and don'ts. You might not be ready for that. But you will be ready for this one thing that the Lord tells you today. Because this is your next step. This is this one thing that you need to hear. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Let me end with a second take home. The new way, the Jesus way, the following Jesus disciple way, it requires me to see. It requires me to listen. And it requires me to follow. We need some boldness to walk on this way. Do you see what God is doing right now in your life? Do you hear His voice? Are you willing to follow? It is easier to stick within your little religion, and you know what's right, and this is how you want to live your life, and God doesn't need to come with anything else. No. We protect that. This is how it's going to be. I want to go to this church. I want to marry. I want to have 2 children. I want to work in this company. I give my time. This is it, God. Don't mess it up. It's my little life. Have you really given your life to Jesus? I just wonder. Because if it's His, you say, Lord, whatever. I made this decision some years ago in Germany and in the forests all alone by a prayer walk. And suddenly I had the feeling that the Holy Spirit asked me, are you willing to go to the ends of the world? And I said, Lord, I don't know where that is, but yes, I am. And there in the forest, I knelt down. Lord, I hope that nobody sees me right now. I said, Lord, wherever you want me to go, just tell me. I'm willing to follow you, whatever you want me to do. That's the Jesus way. You cannot put this in a religion. You cannot put this in a list of rules and rights and wrongs. It doesn't work. It's a relationship.